2 Kings 21. And we're going to pick up verse 5, 2 Kings 21, verse 5. Now, he's talking about Manasseh. And just real quick, you remember that Manasseh, he was, the Bible says he was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. So he was the longest reigning king in Judah. But he was the worst king that Judah ever had. Now, remember, Ahab was, there was none like Ahab that worked to do evil in the sight of the Lord, sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. But Ahab was king of Israel. There's two nations at this time. Manasseh was probably the worst king Judah had ever had. 12 years old when he began to reign. His daddy, if you remember, his daddy was Hezekiah, a good king. But his daddy was given 15 years extra to live. You remember, he prayed, and the Lord said, set thy house in order, because you're going to die. And he turned his face toward the wall and he wept. And that shows you the difference between, again, the Old Testament, before the cross and after the cross. The Lord told him, set your house in order, you're going to die. He was a good king. But he wasn't going to heaven. The atonement had not been made. He was going down to paradise. And so he was weeping. And God gives him 15 more years. Now you contrast that after the cross with Paul. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul's like, get me out of here. He's like, look, the Lord wants me here. It's probably more beneficial for you guys. God can use me to help the churches and all. But he goes, if I had my druthers, I'd get on out of here and go home and be with the Lord. So there's notice the contrast. Two righteous men before the cross and after. And notice their attitudes they're pulling out. Hezekiah asks, he prays, he cries out to the Lord. And the Lord gives him 15 more years. But remember what we said. Notice that there's a qualifying statement that Hezekiah didn't make. He didn't say, if you'll notice in his prayer, he didn't say, but Lord, thy will be done. And those extra years that he got, he really didn't benefit from them like he could have. Remember the Bible says that in that matter of the ambassadors from Babylon, where God was proving him to show what was in his heart, he showed off. He literally showed off. There was wrath upon him. But he repented. He got the thing right. But those 15 years weren't as perhaps they could have been. And it may have been better for Hezekiah if he'd made his petition but said, Lord, thy will be done. Like the Lord Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, he pleaded with the Father. Father, take this cup away. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. But in that 15 years time, Manasseh got born. 3 years into that 15 years, 3 years into that period, Manasseh got born. And when Hezekiah died, then Manasseh began to reign at 12 years old. And we don't know if the time was taken with Manasseh or not. We don't know. But that young man, he was not like his daddy. If anything, he followed in the steps of his grandpa, Ahaz. And remember what we said last week, and I won't belabor the point right now, but be careful how much you lift up relatives who didn't live for God or hadn't cared about the Lord. I told you, and I won't go into it more right now. We talked about it last week. My grandpa was a very wicked man. My dad said about his own dad, said he was an infidel. He wanted nothing to do with God. He was about as bad with stuff as you're going to get, all right? But my mom and dad, though my dad tried to do what he could as far as honoring him as much as he could in that sense, my dad, my mom told me the truth about matters. They never lifted my grandpa up as someone like that old codger, wink, wink, wink. No, sir. They told the truth about him. I told you when I went to go see my grandpa, my dad warned me, saying that he's going to use foul language, he's going to cuss, he's going to be, and it sure did. But some of my cousins, see, their parents wouldn't like that. And they looked at my grandpa's like, that old coot, man, that guy, he's all right. No, he wasn't all right. He wasn't all right. Hated God to the best of my knowledge. He was a very wicked man. And some of them picked up on that. So you got to be careful, I'm telling you. You can pray for your relatives, you can care for them, and that you must do. But if they've chosen a path that's against the ways of God, you can't go, especially when they're older, or especially with a grandparent, like, wink, 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 it's okay. That old guy, I tell you what, well, no, it's not okay. I didn't say you'd be disrespectful, But you clearly delineate and make sure that your children, the grandchildren, know that's wrong. That's wrong, and you're not to follow that. You make those clear-cut divisions with that. I don't know if that was done here. It seems that Manasseh followed in the ways of Ahaz. He definitely didn't follow in the ways of Hezekiah. All right, so when we saw that. So in verse 5, look what some of the things he did. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. So all the host of heaven. So listen, it's not enough that he worshiped the host of heaven. He made altars for them in the house of the Lord, in the two courts of the house of the Lord, in the temple. He's setting up in the temple reserved for the worship of Almighty God. He set up in there these places to worship all the host of heaven. Take your Bible. Go to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 19. Folks, you got to be careful. You got to always be careful, because a lot of folks today would think, wow, that's a shame that somebody would do that. I can imagine somebody would take and do that kind of thing. Well, listen here. There's a lot of brethren. There's a lot of brethren, especially country brethren, who don't think anything in the world of picking up that almanac and finding out what the almanac says, when to plant, as far as when the signs are in. Listen, the constellations and the zodiac that God gave have in the Bible, there are some spiritual meanings for those things that are set up, but they're not meant to rule your life. But you got a lot of people. They're in churches, but they will take and they'll let that thing guide and direct and rule their life. Some of them won't cut hair unless the signs are in a certain place. Some of them won't do this unless the signs are in a certain place. They're going to take them. It's time to plant this. They're going to plant it this way, all based on the signs. You got to be careful. That thing crosses over into divination. It's the same kind of deal about witching a well. Listen, I know some good brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm telling you, that I believe I love the Lord, but they don't know. And you know what? They'll take and my cousin did. I told you that story about my cousin. I gave a Bible study up in North Carolina, and it wasn't something we were covering, but I just all of a sudden I went over this thing about witching wells and divine. In fact, it's called divining, a divining rod. I taught about it. And he came up to me afterwards and he said, Jonathan, he goes, I didn't realize. He said, anytime I go to build a house, he had a construction company. He goes, I always have somebody come in and they witch that well and find my water. And he said, but I'm not going to do it again. He said, I'm not going to do it again. And I told you what, you know, he was building his own house up on a mountain. And he told the well driller, this is just a blessing. He told the well driller, he said, just dig it right there. He just put it right there. So didn't have him come out and divine for the water, just to put it right there. So the guy dug down, and I forgot how many feet they went. It's up on a mountain. And he looked at my cousin. He said, partner, he said, I'm afraid all you got's an expensive hole in the ground. He said, well, all right. So come on back tomorrow. We'll try it again. And he said, Jonathan, he said, I went over there. He said, I prayed, and I said, Lord, I know it ain't right to have that well witched. And he said, I'm not going to do it. I believe what I learned in that Bible study, and I'm not going to do it. But, Lord, that's a lot of money that went in a big hole in the ground. But, Lord, your will, whatever you want, I'm going to do right. So he went over to that hole, and he took his watch out, and he said he took a rock, and he dropped it down, and was listening, right? And it was forever. It was forever before a thing ever could hit bottom. He's like, oof. So the next morning he got up, waiting for the well driller to come. Said the Lord just spoke to his heart and said, go back over that hole. And so he went back over that hole, got him a rock, got his watch. He dropped it in, 1001, that thing filled up with water. And he has water on that site, all the water he can fool with and needs to deal with. Well, see, what happened there? Brethren, you step out on a principle, it's got to be tested. You step out in faith and you trust God on a principle of faith, something you see. Listen, it's easy. It's easy to say, I see that. I see that now. You know what? Amen. I'm going to do that. What? That's no threat to nothing. But when everything, when you've seen, when you've tried to do what you believe and is clear as right about, and it all seems now to fall apart, we stand to it. And he did. You know what the Lord did? He said, Jonathan, God's used that to open up doors for me and the houses I build. When we get to talking about drilling the well and all like that, it's just been wonderful. And it worked out for him. But what I'm telling you is a lot of people, they understand they'll try to use that thing. Let me tell you something. Some mom will say, well, no, it don't have anything to do. It's just that, it's the type of tree. No, it ain't the type of tree. It ain't nothing to do with the tree. Because guys who divine for it, guess what they finally figure out? I can do this no matter what kind of tree I use. I can even do it with a coat hanger. And some of them start finding out, wait a minute, I can even find things that are lost. And then some mom will tell you, now look, I can do it, but if I tell you, I'll lose the... That's witchcraft. That's witchcraft. If you tell somebody and then you're going to lose it, you're going to lose the ability to do it, that's witchcraft. Folks, my grandpa, not that one I was talking about, but my other one, he could take out fire. He could I don't know if he'd ever stop believing, but he could take out fire, but it didn't come from God. It didn't come from God. There's all this stuff passed off in the mountains to where, look here, somebody got burnt, and it happened. Just because a healing takes place does not mean necessarily it's of God. If it's from the wrong source, very often when the source is identified and the person rejects it, believe it or not, sometimes the problem comes back. Really. And what he would do, there's been people burnt, right? They'd come over, them old guys up there, they would take, there's either a verse or a saying they would do as they sweep their hand across it. They'd take a fire out, stop burning. But it wasn't coming from God. A lot of them would tell you, well, I can't tell you because my uncle told me, and if I tell somebody else, I'll lose the ability to do it. That ain't Bible. You don't find that in the Bible. You don't find, but you know what? But churches be filled with them. And you all people say, that's my grandpa. Well, okay, it's your grandpa, but God's word's God's word, and right is right. I love my grandpa. Thank the world, my grandpa. I loved him that one. Not that other one I'm talking about. I thought the world of him, but he was wrong on that. He was wrong on it. And folks, you got to be careful. He was worshiping the host of heaven. The host of heaven, you'd have the stars, the constellations, zodiacs, those kind of things. You'd be surprised the number of people sometimes that stuff goes on. I knew a brother in the Lord, good brother. And I mentioned this stuff before, and he goes, well, I witch him wells all the time. I do all the time. You stay away from that stuff. You stay away from that stuff. There's something that gets involved in that that's not just the wood, because they find out, they can do it with, coat hangers. They can do it with any kind of wood. There's something about, well, the very name, water witching, divining for water, it's divination, all right? Look here, Deuteronomy 4, look at verse 19. Deuteronomy 4, verse 19. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, or the moon, or the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations, unto the whole heaven. So what worship them there? The sun, the moon, the stars, okay? The host of heaven. Take your Bible. Go to 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. Brethren, again, be always careful. The key to something is not, does it work? The key is, does it line up with Scripture? You understand? Does it line up with Scripture? If it lines up with Scripture and it works, fine. But be careful. Something may work, but if it's from the wrong source, you're liable to have opened up a doorway to get an influence in your life, in your children's lives, in your family. You're liable to open up an avenue that you didn't realize. And it's happened. It has happened. Does everyone that reads a horoscope get possessed? No, they don't, but some do. There have been cases of two girls, I remember. Them girls got full bore possessed. What happened? They're messing with the horoscope. Does that happen to everybody? No, but it's an avenue, it's a door that you don't want to fool with, you don't want to mess with. No matter who may talk about it or who may push it or act like it's okay, it's not. Look here, 1 Kings 22, look at verse 19. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and his left. So the host of heaven can be physical, stars, sun, moon, constellations. The host of heaven can be the heavenly armies, the angelic armies. That's why in the Bible, stars typify angels. In the Bible, angels are typified at times by stars. Go to 2 Kings 23. It brings up that very curious phenomena that lo and behold, there's a place in the United States called, it means the angels, Los Angeles. The angels, that's what it means. Los Angeles means the angels. Well, guess what you find there? That's where the stars are at. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? There's a place called Los Angeles, the angels, and that's where the stars are at. But they're the wrong kind. Because in the Bible, angels are typified by stars. And you can't get away from the principles of the Bible. You can't. That book rules everything. It just does. 2 Kings 23, look at verse number 5. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And real quick, go to 2 Chronicles 18. 2 Chronicles 18. Verse 18. 2 Chronicles 18, verse 18. Again, he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. Once again, the heavenly host, the angelic armies, they're there. It's typified also what's also called the heavenly host are the constellation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, all those things. Go to Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34, verse number 4. Notice that when the Lord returns, Isaiah 34, verse 4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood, is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. So you see there are entities there that when the Lord returns, the Bible speaks of them coming down, and the host of heaven, which concerns not just the physical stars and things like that, but also their spiritual counterparts. Go to Daniel 8. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, verse 9. And when you realize that connection between the heavenly constellations that are there, the stars, and their counterparts as far as there being types of angelic entities, then a lot of things open up and make sense to you. Daniel 8, verse 9, and out of one of them came forth a little horn which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Well, okay, so you know there that we're not talking about the kind of stars that you see twinkle and shine, because you're not going to cast those things down the ground and stamp upon them. Those are angelic entities, both good and bad, and about what's going to take place during the time of the tribulation, with the time of the Antichrist and the dragon. Go real quick to two other passages real quick. Go to Luke 2. Luke 2. And we've mentioned this before, but just one more time, just to remind ourselves again. In the Bible, the sun, that orb that came up out there this morning, that's the sun, the S-U-N, is a type of Jesus Christ. You'll find in your Bible that the sun is referred to in a masculine manner. If you read your Bible, you'll see the sun be referred to as he or him. All right? It's a type of Jesus Christ. Comes up, all right, like a type of his resurrection. But it also, as it comes up and it sets blood red, a type of his dying for us. It, again, that's that circuit that it makes. It's a picture of it just every morning, of it rising, coming up. It's a type of Jesus Christ. By that, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is referred to in the book of Malachi as the Son of Righteousness, capital S-U-N. Not capital S-O-N, but the capital S-U-N. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is called the Son of Righteousness in the book of Malachi. All right? The moon is type of the church. In fact, notice in your Bible that the moon is referred to in a feminine manner. Her or she. That's interesting. She's type of the church. Because look, she has no light of her own. She reflects the light of the sun to this earth. Well, brethren, you and I have no light. We have no light on our own. We're to reflect the light of Christ to this earth. To this lost world, we're to reflect the light of Christ. You know, in August, you're going to get to see something here in South Carolina, especially in Berkeley County. If you'll go, if you look online about it, you can see, man, you're going to have one of the best seats for this eclipse that can be found. In August, there's going to be a total eclipse of the sun, and South Carolina, especially Berkeley County, boom, you get one of the best seats that there is to see it. Up around Florence, they may get a little of it, maybe down around Savannah, maybe, but boy, you're going to get it right perfect. It only comes, something like that only comes around like maybe once or twice in a lifetime to where it's a total eclipse of the sun, to where the sun gets blotted out, roosters start crowing, you need to see stars in the middle of the day, and it only happens for just a little bit, and it's something to see. Now, you can buy special glasses to look at it with, because you've got to be careful you hurt your eyes, but that's going to happen in August, okay? Now, you want this type of, you want this picture of? Look here. Jesus Christ is type of the sun, all right? The church is, the moon's type of the church. I got that backwards. The sun's a type of Christ. And the moon is a type of the church. And here's this lost world. But you know what happens in an eclipse? There's two kinds of eclipses. There's a lunar eclipse. But you've seen one of those. Those aren't too, you know, where all of a sudden, you know, the shadow starts coming across, the moon gets a little orange or red kind of color. There's lunar eclipses and there's solar eclipses. One of them happens when the earth gets between the moon and the sun. You know what that's a type of? That's a type of the believer allowing this world to get between it and Christ. It's an eclipse. That's when the believer, the church, allows this world to get between it and Christ and the worldliness that creeps into the church, okay? But then there's another eclipse. And this is when the moon gets between the earth and the sun, all right? You say, well, what's that a type of? Well, that's when people get more caught up about getting people in church than getting them to Christ. Listen. Church is wonderful. You grow in church. The Lord gave himself for the church. It's what a believer should be, a part of a local church, to grow in that church. Listen, you need to come to church to get help and be helped. It's a two-way thing. A lot of folks say, well, I don't know, I don't get much help. Well, you selfish, sorry thing, how about you being a help? It's a two-way thing. You come to church to get help and to be a help. But you know what, brethren? When the church is trying to draw people to it with all its programs, all its different things, we're supposed to be pointing folks to Christ, not drawing folks merely to us. There's a purpose for the church, of course, but we got to be careful that we don't get in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and getting folks to him. That church itself is not looked at as the be-all and end-all. Now, so you see types of that. Then you say, well, what about those stars? Well, we see that in the Bible. They're types of angels, both good and bad. So there are all kind of things and types and pictures that God has strode across there that we find the fulfillment of them here in his word. Luke 2, verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And finally go to Acts 7. Verse 42. Acts 7, verse 42. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rimphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Brethren, the children of Israel, even when they came out of Egypt, had already started false and idolatrous worship. You talk about long suffering. Listen, you talk about long suffering. They had no more got out of Egypt. They weren't even in the land yet. They were not even in the promised land, and they were turned into idolatrous practices. Do you know when the Lord finally took them away beyond Babylon? Man, it was beyond the time of the judges, beyond the times of David, beyond the times of Solomon. Hey, later on, the latter times of the kings, that God finally said, that's it. Our God is amazing in his long suffering and his mercy and his grace. Seriously. But the proof of that is you and me sitting in here this morning. You and I have all given God any excuse he would needed to take us out. Brethren, let me tell you something. Did you realize something? God is not looking for opportunities to take you out. You provide them every day. He's looking constantly for ways to keep you in. God is constantly devising ways to keep you and I in and going on for him. God is constantly devising ways to work around, to get our attention, to get our mind. He's constantly devising ways to keep us in the race. He's not looking for ways to take you out. I'm not saying he doesn't do that. He does. You push him to the wall with that thing. We see examples of that in the New Testament. But I'm saying, brother, this idea that God's just looking for that first chance. Oh, you gave him plenty of it. Shoot, man. Well, the last 2 days, you gave him a chance if he was looking for it. Yes. No, he's devising means to keep you and I in the race and finishing up for the Lord. Finishing up rightly for him. Seriously. All right, go back to 2 Kings 21. 2 Kings 21. All right. So, verse 5 says, he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. So not only did he worship them, but he built altars for them in the temple. It's bad enough to worship false gods. It's worse when you blatantly do it in a manner that openly insults the Lord. Go to Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. Yeah, that's where folks are getting today. It's becoming a thing of, they're getting more brazen with stuff. Where this thing is ultimately going to come to is not that people deny God anymore. It's going to get to the place that they don't deny God. They admit he's there. They're going to come out clean with it and say, sure, he's there and we hate him. And if you'll give me an option, I'll take it. I know he's there and I hate him. I don't want nothing to do with him. That's what, read your Bible. In the book of Revelation, what happens? Listen, the Antichrist, he doesn't deny that there's a God. He rails on God. He doesn't deny that there's a temple in heaven. He rails on it. Brethren, they don't deny that Jesus Christ is coming back. They're ready to fight him when he does. That's how devil-possessed that thing will get, and it's getting. It's pushing toward that. Because it's going to become more obvious that evolution is a farce. Anybody that's got any ability to think, you know that's not it. Brethren, ultimately it's going to come to a point where they know God's there. They hate him. They don't want it. And when the devil is presented here as that option, they'll take it. They'll take it. Listen. The beast, he doesn't deny there's a God in heaven. He rails on him. Opens his mouth and blasphemy against the God of heaven and his temple and them that dwell therein. He'll deny the existence. He rails on it. And when the Lord comes back, they're ready to fight him when he does. It's insanity. Total, it's devil possession to a degree this world has never seen the likes of. And you can see it pushing toward that now. People's attitude toward God is getting more brazen and more bold. And that just means that you and I have got a greater task in front of us, and we can't let ourselves get discouraged, but hold to the end of the row and firm for him. Look here, Ezekiel 20 and verse 39. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye everyone his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. Now look, The Lord's not saying that it's okay to do that. He's speaking sarcastically. God himself uses sarcasm. And what he's saying to Israel is, look, you don't want nothing to do with me. Fine. Okay. Fine. Go your way then. Do what you want. But quit dragging my name in the mud with you. If you're going to do your junk, if you're going to do your stuff, okay, do it. But quit putting on a facade of honoring me or righteousness. Stop it. He goes, go do your stuff if you're going to, but don't try to pretend that at the same time you're going to honor me. Look what he says. He says, verse number 39. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye everyone his idols, and hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me. In other words, if that's what you're going to do, do it. But pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. In other words, okay, you're going to do it. All right, but don't drag my name in it. Don't pretend like you're serving me, and don't come in and pretend to honor me superficially. I don't want none of it. You're going to do your stuff. But don't you try to do it. Don't you try to do it while at the same time acknowledging or pretending like you're serving me. The Lord wasn't having none of it. Oh, my goodness, folks. Jesus Christ said, you're either with me or against me. It's either in or out. It's just, a person's got to make up their mind. Not this mess of doing what I want to do, but throw God's name on it, pretend like it's okay. It don't work like that. All right, go back to 2 Kings 21, look at verse 6. Look how bad it got. 2 Kings 21, verse 6. And he made his son pass through the fire and observe times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. I tell you what, it's horrible. Here was a king, Manasseh, that was totally given over to darkness. Totally. Totally given over to darkness. He sacrificed his son to idols. Made his son pass through the fire. He observed times, which is, you know, divination and such things. He used enchantments, like, you know, spells and sayings, things like that. He dealt with familiar spirits and wizards, like channeling, those kind of things. He dealt with these people, all right? He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Listen, never be surprised at what takes place, even at the highest levels of government. Now, let me tell you something. Listen, and I mentioned this when Barack Obama was president. Listen, it doesn't matter whoever becomes the leader of this land. That's why on Wednesday nights, we prayed for Barack Obama when he was president. On Wednesday nights, we pray for Donald Trump. We pray for our governor. We pray for our senators. We pray for our Supreme Court. We pray for our local officials, because the Bible tells us to. All right? But listen, you better put things in perspective. All right? Folks, it grieved me that Barack Obama was president of the United States. That hurt me. It grieved me. Sometimes I could almost wept from thinking about it. But my Bible told me to pray for him. And with the grace of God, we did. We did that. And we need to continue to pray for his soul. But may I remind you of something? Bad as he was, and I believe he was bad. I believe he's one of the worst presidents we've ever had. I just believe he hated this country. But let me just say something to you. Do you know of any proof that he ever sacrificed one of his kids to Moloch? Do you know any proof that he ever, for fact, dealt with familiar spirits, used enchantments, or dealt with wizards? Well, that wouldn't surprise me. Whoa, but do you know if he did? Do you know of him causing his children to pass through the fire? Do you know of him blood sacrificing his children to idols? No, you don't know of any of that. We don't know that. Now listen to me. Just listen to me. And listen. I think it's the worst president we've ever had. But listen to me. Manasseh did. And people dealt with him, as we'll find out. And you know what happened with Manasseh later on? He repented. He humbled himself. And he got himself right with God. With all that. You pray for folks, brethren. You pray for them. I really believe there are some professing Bible-believing Christians who have made the statement, Barack Obama, there's no way he could be saved. We'll see him in hell. He deserves to be in hell. Listen, what about Manasseh? That's bad man. Over the people of God. That's people of God. That's Israel. He repented. People dealt with him. And he got himself right. Brother, listen. Be careful. Be careful that you don't let yourself become more political than biblical. I'm serious. I'm serious. Hey, listen. It grieved me. I could about cry tears when that man was president. That he was, but you know what? But my Bible told me to pray for him. As you realize, if he don't get saved, that man's going to go to hell. Now, his wife and his children, if they don't come to know Jesus Christ, we'll pray for him. Manasseh caused his children to pass through the fire. Dealt with familiar spirits. Dealt with wizards. Used enchantments. That guy was ate up with it. And God broke him down and he humbled himself before the Lord. He repented, as we'll see later on. All right, look here. It's almost as if, like I told you last week, you know, it's almost like he had a good daddy, but it's almost like that he's doing anything he can to go opposite of the way his dad did. Me and Eve were talking this morning about a relative of hers that is just going off of the wild blue yonder. And you know what it's almost like? She said, you know, she said, Pastor, she goes, it's really just like, I really believe, especially, she said, I believe starting out what she was doing was just to be like in your face to her parents. But what's happened is now the things she's got involved in, they took hold. And whereas maybe at first it wasn't so much her as trying to just shock people or get back at them, now it's becoming her. That ain't good. Y'all look here, young folks, don't ever do anything. Don't ever do anything just to kind of in your face your parents, because you're going to hurt yourself. Yeah, you're going to, listen, I said last week, you'll hurt them. Sure, you will. You'll hurt them. But you'll destroy yourself. Don't do it. Again, any decisions that you are making right now, are you making them because God and His Word are directing you? Or are you making them just to get back at somebody, just as revenge, just to show you can do your own thing? Why are you making your decisions? If you're not careful, you'll let the devil use somebody else as your justification and mess you up. Be sure and know why you're making the choices and decisions you make. All right, look at verse 7. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. So it's as if, once again, it's as if he did all he could to offend the Lord. You see, he didn't just make a grove. He set an image of one in the temple. Again, brethren, since our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the house of God, we must ask ourselves, are we putting images within that ought not be there? Well, think about that thing real good. Think about that thing real good. What did he do? Look what he did. Look at what your Bible says. Your Bible says, here in verse number 7, and he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and Solomon's son, and this house in Jerusalem, which I have chosen of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. So what he did was, he had made a grove, which you weren't supposed to do, you know. But the Bible says on the law, you weren't supposed to put a grove by any of the altars of the Lord. But he went beyond that. And he made an image of the grove, an image, and put it in the temple. Now, where's the temple today? What's your body if you're saved? The Bible says if you're saved, if you're born again, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body's the house of God, the temple. Are you putting images in there that ought not be in there? Think about it. Think about that thing real good. Images. And that's something, boy, that book is so wonderful, isn't it? It pegs it all the way around. He made a graven image and put it inside that thing. Well, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Be careful. Are there images you're putting in there, inside the temple? Images you're putting in there that ought not be. See, listen. Not just places that, and books and places you go to look at, but consciously putting them in there on your own. Listen, now listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. You can't help the thoughts that pop in your head. And you can't help that. You can't do a thing about that, not a thing in the world, and you don't need to let that fret you. Sometimes when somebody really loves God and wants to live for the Lord, one of the things that will drive them to distraction is the thoughts that pop in their head. That's why God didn't make you and me mind readers. Because if God made you a mind reader, you wouldn't have a relationship or a friend in the world. That's just truth. If the Lord made you a mind reader, you wouldn't have a relationship, a friend in the world. I mean, son, it'd be dog fights all the time. It'd be bad. Because you can't help what pops in that head. You can't. You know what? Some of you, listen, you got up this morning. You tried to pray, tried to think on God. And sometimes when you try to think on God, the most ungodly, horrible thoughts pop in your head. You're like, Lord, where'd that? God, I don't want to think that. Lord, where is that? And I mean, the devil's trying to distract you. It may be, listen, it may be something filthy. It may be something jealous. It may be something hateful. It may be something of a root. All kind of things will pop in that head. You can't take the bait. Don't take it. Don't run with it. Don't let the devil distract you with it. You can't help. Well, you've heard me say before, Spurgeon said this, you cannot help the birds flying over your head, but you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. You can't stop that. You can't stop a, listen, I ain't got none. But I reckon they get close to my beard. But you can, my wife, she couldn't help a bird flying over her head. But I'd feel pretty bad if Sarah was to stock still immovable. If that bird started building a nest in her hair, I'd blow the cobwebs off. Something would be matter there. Well, you don't let that. And you say, that's a pretty crazy illustration. Well, now listen, come on. You can't help the thoughts that fly around all over the place. You can't. Listen, trying to stop a thought from coming in is like trying to stop a tune once you've heard it. You know that. Tune gets in your head, and the harder you try to get it out, the more it stays. You say, well, what's the key to it? What's the key if you can't stop the thought coming in? The Bible says, 2 Corinthians, bringing every thought into captivity. There we go. You can't help it getting in, and you'll never stop it. In fact, the harder you try to keep it out, the worse it's going to come in. Once it gets there, stop how far it goes. You can't help what pops in. You can control what you consciously, willfully dwell on. There you go. Don't let it mess you up what pops in. There's going to be some horrible. Sadly, brother, but youngins, that's why we try to keep your mind clean. There's some images your mom and daddy have in their head they wish they didn't have in their head. Sometimes you're going down the road having a good day and something from the past will pop up in that head and you wished it didn't. You reckon it under the blood of Christ. You don't give in to it, but you wish you didn't have a battle face. Young enough, I was going to try to keep your mind clean. But listen, when something pops in the head, don't let it distract you. Oh, why'd that thing come in? It's in there. It's just in there. Till you get that new body, that stuff's in there. But you don't have to dwell on it. You don't have to consciously sit there and, yeah. Now that thing becomes sin. Why, you can't help going down I-26 and some ungodly billboard. You can't help it. You've seen it. But now putting on the brakes and getting off the exit and turning around so you can see it again, you can do something like that. You understand? It's what you consciously choose. Make sure you're not putting images in the temple. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, make sure and be careful about not putting up images in there. I'm not talking about things that pop in. I'm talking about things that you choose to consciously dwell on. And you may fool everybody. Everybody thinks you got it all together and thing, but you listen, there's some low-down scandals that will sit in church and peruse through a porno movie in their mind while they're sitting in church. It's wrong. They say you can help what pops in. You can help what you consciously choose to place in there and dwell on. Bring it into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You can do something about that. All right, watch this thing. Listen, go also to Philippians 4. Be careful of the images you put in there. Philippians 4. Verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Make sure it meets that criteria if you're going to dwell on it and think about it. Be careful of the images that you put in there and place into the temple. All right? Now, notice this. Notice, go back to 2 Kings 21. Look at verse 8. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of their land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I've commanded them. and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. You see, if Israel had any hope of not being moved out of the land, the key of it was observing to do the Lord's commands. God says, look, if you'll do what I commanded you under that Mosaic law, I'll keep you in this land. If you don't, I'll send you out of it. Y'all listen. Do you want some? And listen. So if Israel gets moved out of the land, that means they're not stable, right? If they can be pushed out of that land, if God allows enemies to push them out, that means there's no stability. Let me ask you something. Do you want stability? Do you want to be able to stay? I have some staying power in the things of God and not have the enemy just kind of push you. You want some stability? Then learn to observe and do the Lord's commands. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my command. Learn to obey the word of the Lord. Notice the phrase, observe to do. The word observe in the dictionary means to be attentive. Obedience involves paying attention. You can't allow yourself to be distracted. You can't be flippant and light. To pay attention means there will be a cost involved. It will cost gratifying self at times. Listen, if you've said, all right, pay attention. When you say, ain't it aggravating? You tell somebody pay attention, they ain't paying attention. That sends you through the roof, right? And listen, and to pay attention, you've got to quit. You ever seen school? Put that thing down you're playing with and pay attention now. Quit looking outside. Your teacher tell you all kinds of stuff because you're not paying attention. Because you know what? I'm indulging myself. I'm doing what I want to do. If I'm going to pay attention, I got to not do what I want to do right now, and I've got to get keyed and locked in on this thing. If you want to observe to do the word of the Lord, it's going to cost you something. You can't just do what you want to do on your timetable. And you've got to take and bring yourself in for round from things that gratify you, all right, to observe to do. To observe means you've got to pay attention. And to pay attention means you've got to lay some things aside to key in on the thing that's before you so you can learn it and do it like the Lord would have you to do. But a lot of times we just don't pay attention. We don't observe to do. Our mind's elsewhere. It's like a young in school. They're not paying attention. They don't get it. And test time or whatever, they blow it. Often we fail those spiritual tests. Why? We're not paying attention. We're not observing. It means there's going to be a cost involved. It will cost gratifying self at times. I want to stop right here, but I'll give you an illustration I probably mentioned to you before, I'm sure. There was an Olympic swimmer. I don't know if it was that Phelps fella or not, but there was an Olympic swimmer. And when he was in college, on his college swim team, he was a good swimmer. He just could not sit still. He was in college. And he's got to pass his courses. He's got to do. The problem was he could not sit still and study. He couldn't do it. And I guess his mom and daddy had never, never tore his hind end up or whatever and taught him to sit still and conquer himself. But the boy couldn't do it. So his coach put a $10 or $20 bill, I don't know what it was, but he put a bill in front of him, said, son, if you can sit for, I forgot how long, and study for, I don't know if it was a day, a week, or he goes, that money's yours. Did you know it took him, I forgot how long it was, but after a couple, he literally almost cried, would pull his hair, get up and find. It took him about a week or whatever to get to certain levels of being able to sit there. But he finally learned to do it. Now, you know what? It'd have been a whole lot easier if his mom and daddy, when he's younger, had taught him that. It'd been a whole lot easier on that boy. Y'all look here. When you take and discipline that child with as the Bible tells you to discipline, all right, listen to me, you're helping free that young'un from his own self. Because there's too many young'uns out here. Even brought up in saved homes, know where the Word of God is, but hellions. Look here, can't sit still. Have you ever gone out to eat? Listen, have you ever gone out to eat with a Christian couple and you can't leave a track? because the young'uns will not sit still, mess with other people's table, mess with other people's food, and you're going to leave a track? There are lost people that realize you don't do that. That's not how you do. And look, they're going to look and say, what have you got to offer me? So you've got the right Bible. You must not read it. You must not do anything with it. Let your kids do like that. It takes getting up off of it and making them sit still. And if they don't sit still, they're going to pay for it, feeling it on their hind end. Do you understand what you're doing by that? Well, yeah, I understand what I'm doing by that. It's making it towards a more peaceful environment. That's just one of the benefits. What you're doing by doing that is setting them free from their self. That child is a slave to their own passions, to their own anger, their own whatever emotion they feel. They're a slave to it. They cannot control it. It controls them. Unless you take that rod of correction like the Bible says and apply it in the right way, you're going to make that child a slave to their own emotions and passions rather than them controlling their emotions control them. And it don't stop at 5, 6, and 7. It goes on to 30, 50, and 70. Now they get grown up and they still can't control themselves because nobody taught them to. Don't let it happen. Don't have to happen. And if you're someone that says, well, Brother Doss, I never really learned to free myself from myself. I am whatever I feel. I kind of have a hard time. All right, why don't you be honest with God and say, Lord, help me. I need your help. Lord, I can't sit still half time. I can't sit still to learn. Lord, I can't sit still to observe and to do like I ought to do. Lord, help me. And he will if you're willing. A lot easier if it gets put in when we're younger. But God can still do it when we're older. Just got to use some bigger tools for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear God, for your word. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Father, help us, Lord. Help us to understand these principles, Lord. Father, help us to... Lord, it just seems today, Father, that some things are getting missed. A lot of saints, Lord, seem to know certain things. But, Father, as far as practical truth that they can apply to their lives, it's not there. And, Lord, they don't realize how it hurts their testimony. Because, Lord, somebody can have some truth and have the right book. But, Father, if the character is lacking, nobody's going to pay attention to them. Nobody's going to want it. Nobody's going to think it's real. Father, help us to understand, dear Lord, the great importance of practical truth and practical application of truth. Father, help us to understand these things this morning and apply them where and as we need it. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.